Well, every year church leaders start setting goals, and one of the things we hear all the time is, what should we be measuring at our church? Well, we're going to unpack some of the best things for churches to measure this year in this conversation. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about the most valuable metrics for your church to be tracking in this coming year. Should be a good conversation. I think every year, this is something that I am wrestling with. I know we just did this with my entire staff. We went through and set goals and kind of things that we need to be tracking. And so goals are only as good as the numbers behind those goals. And we have to have some honest conversations on, are we actually tracking that so that we can make that a goal? So I think it should be a good conversation, kind of unpacking some of the things that we found at my church. And I think it's something a lot of pastors struggle with too. It's like, what should we actually be measuring? I think most of us know that church is so much more than the number of people that show up, our Sunday attendance, you know,
more than
obviously,
butts in seats.
Obviously that's something we're going to track. Like we don't, every church does, you know, even those that dismiss it and say it doesn't really matter to us, they still track it. So everybody does. And it is an important metric, but I think there's other, I wouldn't even say more important, but just additional things that are more qualitative in some ways that you should also be measuring. So the goal of this episode is to give you some of those things that we're going to start tracking. And maybe something you can consider tracking at your church too.
Yeah. And I hate to mention the pandemic still, because we're about to enter into, we're recording this right before 2026, but it still did obviously impact the church. And I think it forced churches into thinking of other metrics to track that we saw. And so I think that, you know, a lot of what we're talking about today, some of it was not necessarily born out of COVID, but most certainly drawn out of COVID. So
I remember,
most certainly,
I remember in that COVID time, just how many churches, like they had the audacity to now count number of online views as like attendance and measure them the same way. So during the pandemic, we grew to, you know, from 200 people to over 7,000 people in digital attendance.
So we're exploding. So we're bursting at the seams.
7,000 people watched us for 2 seconds and then clicked
off
to the next video. And
That's
then
right. They scrolled. They scrolled past us.
I just think that I don't think anybody was being nefarious with that, but I think it was something that we just didn't really know how to make heads or tails of some of these online metrics.
We were learning. We were learning during that time about a lot of this. So, well, first one here, Thomas, first-time guest follow-up rate. What do we mean by the follow-up rate of a first-time guest?
Okay, so for me, what this means is like just really being accountable. This is more of like a metric for our staff in some ways of, are we actually following up with our first time visitors? So obviously another part of this is, are visitors returning? You should be measuring that. Like if a visitor comes a second visit, that's an important thing to be measuring. But for my staff, I've learned over the years, this is something that you actually have to take a deep dive and actually look at, are all the steps of our visitor follow-up process being followed? Because I can't tell you how many times that if I don't pay attention to it for a minute, there's a step that's uncomfortable or something we don't really like doing that just gets missed over a season or some of that kind of stuff. So it's a conversation that I have at least monthly, kind of following up on our visitor follow-up process. And our goal is, it should be 100%, you know, that 100% of the people that fill out a visitor card at our church, they get the entire visitor follow-up process that we decided for them, which includes text messages and emails and personalized cards that we send out. And for kids, we put stickers in there and, you know, give them stickers as a gift and that kind of stuff, that they get a free ice cream scoop at a local ice cream shop. So all of those things together, our goal is to be at 100% for that. But I guess the main point here is that you need to be if you haven't in a while, take a look at your visitor follow-up process and actually audit it. Are we actually doing the stuff that we think we're supposed to be doing, and work to get that to be 100%?
Yeah, that's a big deal, because if you uncover that you're not 100%, that's costing people that are returning for sure. So good. Group participation rate.
So this is an obvious one. I think most churches probably know they should be tracking this. I think the challenge on this one is more on the how do we track this information. So by this, we generally mean like your small groups or if you're like a Wednesday night service kind of church, your attendance at that. But just groups outside of Sunday morning, what is the percentage of your church that participates in those? So to figure out the percentage, you need to know the actual raw number of how many people are doing that. So I think for a lot of churches, the challenge here is the reporting side of things. So I know this is a thing we have to work through and we have worked through at our church is we do what we call life groups. So there's small groups that meet in homes throughout the week. And some are men, some are women, some are co-ed. But we use Planning Center and we have all of our leaders as part of their requirement get in there and basically take attendance at their small group every single week. So that's the expectation. Now, to be totally candid with you, our leaders kind of are a little bit over 50% of them actually do that. Our small groups director has to, you know, follow up with them often and kind of remind them or like actually put it in for them in some cases. But this is usually the challenge is actually getting the information because, you know, just building a system around that is tough. So again, for input, we use Planning Center groups. That's what we do at our church.
Twice already.
So that's what it is. The groups module is what we use in there. And we've been doing a real deep dive and making sure we're measuring this well. But this is so important because we were able to uncover that we're actually a little bit over 50% of our normal Sunday attendance is involved in some kind of a group throughout the week. So generally high, I think kind of if you want some overall metrics of what I hear from churches, 30% is kind of 30% and above is generally good. And then below 30% is where you probably want to see some increase there. If you're below 20%, I think you need to kind of stop other things that you're doing and put a lot of attention to it. So
That's a good point. That's always a sign of health of a church. When obviously we work with a ton of churches, and anytime I hear a church talking about being above that 30% or even over some or over, I had one church that was about 80% that they shared, and that was extremely healthy for them. So now there's different factors, but
I sometimes when we hear that kind of a number, I kind of call shenanigans on that. That's possible, but I think that I'm not saying that they necessarily
certainly were proud of it.
I think they I'm not saying that they're trying, they're lying to you, I think it's probably a tracking like that's really incredible. If that's the case, I've never heard of like an actual one. If you audit it, that would be that high. That's something that I think that the detail is in the actual way you're measuring these kinds of things.
Yeah, they were a little different too. They put small groups emphasis way over that. They did their Sunday services different and presented small groups first, even more above their service. So a little different there. But
let us know in the comments if you guys have a huge number of participation rate on your small groups there. I'd love to hear what you're doing well. Let us know.
I like this next one. Giving consistency, not just the amount of giving by individuals. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to be careful with this one because I just like want to say that some people give in different ways for different reasons. So we have two people in our church of 300 people that give their tithes in December for the entire following year. So they just made their big giant donation of the year, but they're giving their first fruits, and the way they feel called to do these things is to give a lump sum at the beginning of the year or the end of this year for next year as kind of how they feel God's called them to do it. So like, is that consistent? Yeah, I guess it's consistently every year, which is awesome. But I think that I am a big fan of measuring giving consistency, but I want to give that kind of as a caveat. I think something to measure though is how many people are on your recurring giving list, basically. Is that number growing? Is that something that a lot of people are using? I think that healthy churches and healthy followers of Jesus are consistently giving their first fruits to their church where they worship. So it is an important thing, but I just want to give you that as a caution, is that just because someone doesn't give on a weekly basis doesn't necessarily mean that they're inconsistent. How do you, I know I do it monthly, Ian. I do it like the first of the month. I have an amount that comes out like, I set it up for the first of the month. It comes out like at 2 a.m. on the first of every month for my tithes and offerings for that month. Are you more weekly or every other week, or how do you do it typically?
I'm kind of like the way I tithe and give is to, it's in three different increments in a given month. It just works for the way I budget and how I get paid and give my first fruits to the Lord and all of that. So,
So I think consistently the best way to measure that is by looking at the number of people that are on your recurring giving roster there, basically, and make a point of talking about that. Like, I think the way you grow that is when you give your, you're talking about your offerings, which I'll share a video I did about how to do the offering talk. I would emphasize that the best way to give for most churches is that you would set that up as a recurring gift and let people know that they can do those kinds of things online.
Keeps them disciplined too. So yeah, it's a good option to have. So good. Next one I like, prayer and spiritual practice engagement. I guess what we mean by this is like, how many people are actively submitting prayer requests? And we had a funny term in here. Are you giving fasting challenges and spiritual challenges, if you will? So
yeah. So I don't know how to, I've never measured fasting participation rate. I've always wondered that question, because our church does a church-wide fast twice a year. Kind of, we're about to do one in January, and then we do one usually like that back to school time. And so it's really been cool to see, but I have a suspicion that we're under 50% in our overall participation rate, but we just don't have a really good way to measure that. So if you guys have good ideas on how you measure fasting participation rates, I'd love to hear that in the comments too.
That'd be cool.
But I really do love like looking at some of the more spiritual practices, specifically prayer. I think everybody knows that in most churches, the prayer meeting is very hard to get people to go to. That's just something that is not typical at most churches. I have a philosophy, and my team has been wrestling with this right now at my church, is that I think the reason for that is that in most prayer meetings, it's different from other church services, because it's one of the few things we do that's not about us. It's about him, right? So it's about it's about relationship with him and being what he's calling us to be, and talking to him in the way we're called to, and that just in our consumer mindset.
Yeah.
And this isn't a slight on anybody else.
Or praying for others and other initiatives.
Yeah, totally.
Getting outside of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's part of the reason why that is. But I think we all recognize that a healthy church has a healthy prayer meeting. I don't know. I've heard it attributed to many different people over the years, but the saying is that you can measure the health of a church not by its attendance on Sunday morning, but attendance at its prayer gatherings. Very important to measure. One thing we measure at my church is every week, as part of our Sunday service, we give people an invitation to come up and receive prayer after service. So we have a prayer team that's willing to lay hands and pray over people for any number of reasons, whether it's personal stuff or health or healing, whatever it would be. And so we measure the number of people that respond to that every week. You know, on average, our church of 300 people, we see 6 or 7 people every week come up and receive prayer. But it's something that we're measuring and trying to get more people willing to get up there and take that step and receive prayer. So a good spiritual step.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like this next one because it's something that we help churches with here, with online marketing and web design and just online engagement. We're talking about online engagement that leads to a personal connection. So did they fill out a connect card online? Did they submit a prayer request, speaking of prayer, you know, online, and then get in touch with the church? Maybe they've been watching your messages and wrote in and had a question about something you preached about, then they came. We've always loved over the years, I know you as well, Thomas, just helping churches online, like hearing those types of stories.
Yeah, totally. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So we have to remember that now most people have an interaction with your church online before they ever have an interaction in person with your church. Yeah. So one of the things that if you've listened to the Retried podcast for any length of time, you've almost certainly hear us talking about call to action, call to action, call to action. And this is so important for any kind of online engagement for churches. So from your Instagram reels that you're putting out there to your full length YouTube videos, to your website, to every carousel that you post on Instagram or Facebook, like make sure you have a desired result of what you want someone to do as a result of watching or seeing or scrolling through this particular post that we're doing there. This is the big pitfall we fell into during the pandemic is that we started to make views the number one thing that we watched for and not actually encouraging people to take a step to what is that call to action? What do they do next? So really getting careful about asking people to do that and then measuring the number of people that are taking those steps. So the obvious one is like a plan your visit form that would be on your website. We recommend that for every church right now, just a page dedicated to first-time visitors that invites them to fill out their form and plan a visit to come to the church there. So that's a really clear, easy call to action and an easy win for most churches.
Yeah. Another thing I liked other than the plan your visit, which is a big one and has been for a while, is with churches doing more live streaming. Again, you've heard us talk about we don't believe that live streaming is right for every church. But if a church has video, at least even if it's on demand or it's live, having on that landing page where someone can also possibly ask questions about something you preach or leave their info or fill out a connect card after they've been impacted by the message online. One thing I really liked that we also kind of vamped up and helped churches with when the pandemic happened. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good one. So next one is I like this one too because I'm a part of a larger church that has a lot of events and there's also, you don't have to be a large church to have a lot of events, but there are a lot of event-driven churches as the saying goes. And so it's retention after these. Are you just having multiple events and like no one's coming back after? That's a big thing to track, I think.
Yeah, totally. I think that this is a mistake so many churches make is that at your big events, so Easter, harvest parties, Halloween parties, Christmas Eve, those kinds of big things you do throughout the year, you really need to make sure you nail that visitor follow-up process for those. Make sure like you're ultra specific on how someone gets you their information. And then really making sure that you execute your follow-up process right after those. It's probably going to make it unique too. Like your harvest party follow-up process should be different from your normal Sunday morning process. You should have a segment that basically does different messages and talks about different things because people are having different expectations and maybe haven't come to a service just yet. But yeah, that's definitely something that we are measuring. This is going to be coming out right after kind of Christmas and New Year's season.
Yeah.
And so, this is something that is a huge point of emphasis for my church right now is making sure that we have really clear comeback events and really clear calls to action in our Christmas Eve service.
Yeah.
And even though it's not going to feel really Christmassy to talk about our Financial Peace University class that's coming up, these are things that people, it's a next step that they can be taking. So trying to measure the number of people that are at big events that are maybe the Christmas and Easter type of members of our church, making sure that we invite them and track how many of them are becoming more regular attenders there.
And boy, do we know this and have we known this for years that where the term comes C&Es, the Christmas and Easter only people, we've obviously been working at this for years. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's a good one to mention. So this one, we kind of covered it, but the next step conversion rate, like it's a little different because we're talking about like after someone has visited a time or two, them taking a next step for serving, joining a small group, maybe getting baptized, which is a big one too to track. So those types of things obviously are very important.
Yeah, I think just you probably have to have a clear on-ramp into some of these next steps that people would take. Whether it be baptism or joining a serve team of some kind or joining a small group. Do you have a clear pathway for someone to take on that?
Yeah.
And then if you do, can you measure it is the question. Can you measure how many people are filling out that get involved form or your join a life group form or whatever it would be there? And then you should be measuring that. I would guess most of our audience is already measuring baptisms and how many people are getting baptized at your church. But I find surprisingly few are measuring how many people are not on serving teams or like volunteer roles or in small groups, but how many are joining them? How many people are jumping into those things? And online forums are a great way to do that. I imagine most of us have that online somehow that you can request information on how to join a team of some kind, but measuring how many of those you're getting and then again, calling people to action to do that. I think that's a healthy practice.
Yeah. Excellent. Last but not least, volunteer participation and follow through. So active number of active volunteers and people following through with that as well, signing up for participation, all of that. Yeah.
This is the, like, I've been in many different churches and this church is just like every other church I've been a part of, is that the challenge for us often is finding volunteers or finding people that want to serve in the church. It's not even, again, maybe I'm phrasing that wrong, because I don't think it's about people wanting to serve. I think if you asked anybody, they'd say, do you want to, you know, play a part in what God's doing at your church? Everybody would basically say yes to that. But the proof is like, how many people are actually doing it? How many, what percentage of our church is actually involved? One thing I'm finding is that people are willing to serve now earlier and earlier in their overall relationship with a church. And I think a lot of people are still caught up in an old mindset where we're nervous about inviting people to serve too early in their process. But what we're finding is that after a few weeks of someone being around, that's the exact right time to invite them into a low commitment place of service to start, like a one-time event or a one, especially an outreach where someone can go out there and do something for people that are not yet a part of our church. I think giving people an opportunity to do that very early in their relationship with the church, I think that really kind of builds this culture of serving within your church. And people are extremely sticky to your church when they've been involved in some measure of service. And let's be honest, that's the best way to build relationship with people in your church, is by serving side by side. I find that that's like even more effective than sitting in a life group and, you know, talking about a Bible study together, is going out there and planting gardens in your community together or serving the homeless together side by side. That's the best way to build connections. So definitely something to be measuring.
You and I saw this when we were doing ministry together, and when we were pastoring together here in the Austin area. We did an outreach called Laundry Love, where twice a month we'd take over a laundromat, a local laundromat, and wash people's clothes for free in a in kind of a rougher area of town. And what this reminded me of, Thomas, I like that you use outreach, and it doesn't have to just be outreach, but my sister, who's someone who's not a person of faith or doesn't attend church, right away when I told her we were doing that, she's like, oh, I'd love to be a part of that and get involved. You get, that's so awesome that you guys are doing that. And so, reminded me of that time years ago. So
Awesome stuff. This is some of the things that we're kind of like leaning into measuring right now. I'd love to know from our Reach Right audience, what are you measuring at your church that's different from this or different from kind of the normal Sunday attendance kind of things? If you have anything that you felt has been kind of like a really good thing to get a handle on at your church and you're able to measure it, I'd love for you to leave a comment down below and let us know about that. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.